Well, today, man, we're excited to have some moms in the house. We're excited to have some ladies in the house. We're excited to have some guys in the house. Anybody? I'm looking for anybody. Anybody excited to be in the house? All right, there we go. Hey, man, it's good to see you guys up here today. Good to see you. Some group of men right here. Give these guys a hand clap, man. Changing, making life-changing decisions. They're changing their life over what God has for you guys. It's always good to have you. Thanks for being with us today. I am thrilled that you are here, and we're going to honor moms today. But today, as we get into this message, I want you to know this is where I believe that every lady in the house, I'm going to speak to every lady in the house, not just moms. I believe that every lady in the house has a mothering spirit about you. Whether you have children, whether you're helping with somebody else's children, whether you're just loving your nephews and your nieces or your grandbabies, whatever it may be, I believe that God has put inside every woman the gift of nurturing and mothering. And so today we're going to be ministering to our mothers, speaking over our mothers. And I want you today just to, one more time, can we give all of our women in the house a big hand clap appreciation? Yeah. Today, I want to speak to you on a thought today that the Holy Spirit dropped to me. What would Jesus say to all the women, to every woman here today? What would Jesus say to you, to every woman in the house? I believe we see in Scripture, first of all, I want you to know that Jesus was the biggest liberator there was for women. Do you realize that, man? That when he came, at the time that he came to walk this earth, that, man, women were not allowed to do a lot of things. And one of the things they were not allowed to do, they were not allowed to be involved in teachings of the Torah. They were not allowed to have it broke down and taught to them. They had to hear it second or third hand from somebody else. And they were not allowed to talk to a man in public. If he wasn't your husband, or if he wasn't a part of your immediate family, ladies, you were not allowed to talk to him. And so the Pharisees had made up all these laws, even though they were not a part of God's original law. The Pharisees kind of ran out of things to do, and so they thought, here's a great idea. Why don't we make all these laws and just make it as hard as possible to serve God? And so every year they come up with these new laws, thinking they were doing something great for God. And in that, they begin to pile on to this thought that women were not as equal to men when it comes to the things of God. They couldn't understand Scripture. God wouldn't use them in revelations of Scripture. God didn't want to teach them, and especially, you know, in public, that God just, you need to be quiet and just, you know, go on about your business, and God will speak to the men. I wonder who made that law. Probably a bunch of men. Anyway, because we're really good about that, guys, aren't we? Anyway, so when Jesus came, he came and just really rebuked that spirit by just coming and facing head on. He talked to ladies in the marketplace. He talked to ladies at the well. He talked to them in the city. He invited them in to sit at his feet in his teachings. He allowed them. And we see in Scripture where they write about this many men were there. But if you look throughout, you see a thread of consistency that women are always involved in what Jesus was teaching. Women are always around when Jesus was teaching. Even when he taught parables, he didn't just teach about men, but he taught about men and women. He was trying to paint a picture. When he talked to women, he would call them the daughter, my daughter. And he was doing that because he called the men his sons. And what he was saying is, you're my daughter, you're my sons, we're equal here, and the things of God are equally important for you. There is no second class when it comes to God. And God's grace and mercy is for us all. God's calling is for us all. God's healing power is for us all. And he was bringing that message and confronting face-to-face the things society was trying to do to women. So I love the fact that Jesus right away just comes in and breaks through those barriers and begins to speak into women's life. And today I want to give you five things, five statements I believe that we see in stories that when Jesus talked to women, confronted women, ministered to women, certain things came out. And these are stories that are not just for women, okay? Even though I'm going to be ministering to women today and speaking directly to women. Guys, these will transform your life as well. These speak right to you. These are not things just for only women. These are things that go to everyone in this room today. These are the promises, challenges, and things that Jesus said to them. But I'm going to really target my attention today to ladies, if you allow me to do that. Does that sound like a good idea? Let's do it. Today, I want to talk to you first about a story in the Bible about a woman who had an issue of blood, the Scripture says. And we see the first thing I want you to see here is that I think Jesus is asking this question. What burden have you been carrying from year to year? What burden have you been carrying from year to year? We find a story in Mark chapter 5 where Jesus was there and he says he was going through the crowd and there was a woman who had an issue of blood. She had been bleeding for 12 years. She had this thing for 12 years. She had been bleeding. It says that she went to the doctor and spent all of her money. She had been going to the doctor. She probably went from alternative medicine. She went the whole, you know, anybody who could do anything. I mean, she was going to trying anything out there, the latest fads, whoever said this would work. She was trying it all. And it says after 12 years of seeing every doctor she could see, is spending all of her money to try to get better. It says instead of getting better, she got worse. Anyone ever relate to that? You ever try to get some things changed in your life, have issues that you're trying to change, and you spend all your resources, all your time, all your energy trying to make changes, and it seems like instead of things getting better, they just get worse? You ever feel like, man, this is supposed to be turning around. I'm trying to make changes here. I'm trying to do the right thing, and these issues that I'm having need to change. These issues that I'm having, some things need to turn around in my life. And as we do that, it seems like things just get worse many times. These issues we have get more of a burden. And this was a big deal because this lady, we realized this, that if you were bleeding, that you are not allowed to be in contact with anybody else. That you are isolated. If you were bleeding, you were held out and you were ostracized and you were put out because you were not allowed because you were considered unclean according to the ceremonial rituals they had to go through at that time, that you were not allowed to be involved with other people. So for 12 years, she was isolated. For 12 years, she had to spend time alone. For 12 years, she had to be known as that person. For 12 years, she was known as a person who was unclean. For 12 years, she had an issue that she was trying to get help for and could not find any help. For 12 years, she'd been carrying anything. I wonder if there's anybody in the house today feel like for year after year, you're carrying some of the same burdens. Year after year, you're carrying some of the same issues that have been plaguing you. Yeah, you've learned to live with it. Yeah, you've learned to cope with it. But inside, you are wanting this thing to come loose in your life. And I believe today that Jesus is asking you this question. What issue are you carrying around from year to year? I'm not talking about someone who broke your heart in third grade. Okay, we're talking about things that are deep wounds inside you, deep things that you are carrying around, that you're needing to get better, and you've been carrying around from year to year. And Jesus today is saying, I want to heal you. We see with this lady. It says that she began to press her way through the crowd because the multitude had gathered around Jesus, and they were touching Jesus, and they were praying for my baby. Jesus, touch for me, heal me. There's the multitude is just pressing him, getting to him, trying to get to him, and she works her way on her hands and knees and works through the crowd and reaches up and says, and she touches just the hem of his garment. And as she touches his garment, she feels the healing power leave his body and come through her body. And immediately she felt healed. And Jesus stopped and says, who touched me? Who's the person who touched me? Jesus knew who touched him. Even though it seemed like a very silly statement that Jesus would ask, who touched me? Because, hello, everybody's touching you, Jesus. But there was something different about the faith of this woman. There was something different about her issue where she had reached a point in her life where she was tired of carrying this issue around. And she went to Jesus and reached out in faith and touched him. And immediately she felt the power, the healing power of God come upon her. And it says, who touched me? And of course, when he did that, that means this woman had to come forward. And she come forward. She didn't just kind of sit back in the crowd and be like, well, I don't want people to know it was me. No, she came and she laid on her face before the Lord and said, Jesus, I want you to know it was me. And she shared her story about how she had been unclean for 12 years, but I felt your healing power. And he said, woman, rise up, man, get up, because your faith has made you whole today. Go in peace. And so we see today where this woman was not afraid to press toward the Lord and give him her issue. And today I ask you that question because I believe the Holy Spirit is asking that same question today. What issue, ladies, are you carrying? What insecurities are you carrying around from year to year? What things? What hurt? Who hurt you? What things are you carrying around from year to year that God today is wanting to set you free? I believe today God's going to do something in your life. For some ladies here today, that God is going to do some emotional and spiritual healing in your life as you come and say, God, I'm ready to get rid of my issue today. I'm ready to give it to you. I love this. The second story I want to share with you today is a story when Jesus met the widow woman. And it says that Jesus was moved with compassion as she was heading out of the city. He was coming into the city, and she was heading to the city. And he was heading into the city, and she was coming out of the city to bury her only son who had died, the widow woman of Nain. And we find this story in Luke chapter 7. And it says that Jesus was coming in, that she was coming out, and the people who were with her as they were going off to bury her son. And she was crying and weeping. And it says that Jesus looked at her. Now, this is a big thing because, you see, this wasn't just a story about Jesus healing her son, about Jesus resurrecting her son, which he does. He walks over to her and puts his hand on the coffin, and he commands that dead body. He says, "Awaken, my son. Arise." And it says, immediately life came back into this young man, and he rose up and went home with his mom. And, of course, we know that Jesus was doing this because the Father was wanting to do something in public ministry, proving that Jesus has the power of death, hell, and the grave, and that he was going to be operating the things that he was prophesying about. But more importantly here, I want you not to miss the message here, because what we see here is this. Did this woman ever at one time, when she's coming out mourning, did she go, "Jesus, excuse me, Jesus, yo, Jesus"? I felt that way before. Have you felt that way? "Jesus, did you see me? Jesus, notice me over here. I'm mourning over here. Jesus, I need you. Jesus." No, she doesn't even cry out to him. You know what it says she does? It says she is so tore up that she's following her son to take him out to bury him. And says all she could do was just wail and weep. Have you ever been there in your life when all you felt like you could do, you couldn't even say anything, and all you could do was cry? Ever been a point in your life when all you could do was just out of your belly, just came, just a prayer of just intercession, or a prayer of just weeping, because you couldn't even ask anybody for anything. All you could do was cry. And it says that Jesus, when he saw this woman, he heard this woman's cry. She wasn't asking for help. She didn't even call his name, and she probably didn't even notice it was him, because she was so focused on what she was had to do in burying her son. It says that Jesus, this is a great statement here. I love it. It says Jesus moved with compassion. Jesus moved with compassion, went over, and he awoken her son, said, "Rise up and walk." And see, this is what I want you to know today, that Jesus does see your mourning. He sees it when you weep. He knows when you weep, and he knows when you cry. He knows when you can't even get the words out of your spirit that you're wanting to say. He knows, ladies, when you've had that grief going on inside you and you haven't done anything but just cry out, and you don't even have the right words to say. Don't have anything fancy to say. You don't have anything pretty to say. All you can do is just cry because of the mourning that's going on inside your life. And Jesus sees you, and he's moved with compassion. He sees you today. Don't you ever think that he does not see you today. He sees you, and he is moved with compassion for your circumstance. It says it was this compassion that moved him to do something for this lady. She didn't even ask. We see where he's moved with compassion. Let's go into our next statement. I want you to see this. Jesus calls you out of your past, and he sends you forward to your destiny. In John chapter 4, we see a great story when Jesus cuts through Samaria on his way back home, and he stops at Jacob's well to get some water. He was thirsty, and it was in the middle of the day that he stops there, which is a time when no one usually would be at the well. But there was one woman who was there. She's called the Samaritan woman, and she goes through. We find the story in John chapter 4. It's an awesome story. Go back and read it this week. You'll love the story. And she goes there. He says, "Hey, woman, can you get me something to drink?" I'm just saying that, you know, tongue-in-cheek. "Can you get me something to drink?" And she's like, "Are you talking to me? First of all, do you know I'm a Samaritan? You shouldn't be talking to me. I'm a Samaritan, and Samaritans are going to mingle. Number two, we're not kin. I'm not allowed to talk to you. It's a disgrace, so I can't come in and talk to you. So who are you trying to talk to me here?" Well, Jesus knew who she was, and he's like, "Listen, you know, hey, if you just realize who's talking to you, that I want to give you a water that when you drink of it, you'll never thirst again." And she thinks he's talking about natural water, so she spouts off about, "Are you greater than Jacob?" And, "Yeah, I'd love to have that kind of water that never ran dry, you know." And he's like, "You're missing a woman." So he just asks her, "Hey, where's your husband? By the way, where's your husband?" And I love the honesty here, because she's like, "Well, I don't have a husband." He's like, "I know you don't have a husband. Oh, you've had five husbands in the past, because you've been married five times. And the guy you're living with now, you're not married to." And she's just in shock, because he just looks right at her and tells her her life history. But I love this story, because you notice what happens here is that Jesus, even though he acknowledges her past, he doesn't go and begin to condemn her. You just begin to say, you know, with husband number two, it was your fault. And number three, you did this. With husband number four, this happened. And husband number five, he just go back and do all that. What's he do? He just simply says, all right, listen, I've known you've blown it big time. I've known you've had some heartaches in your life. I've known that you've had a lot of turmoil in your life. And to make things worse, you're just continually compounding it by repeating the same stupid mistakes year after year. You're doing the same thing. And Jesus looks at her, and he doesn't condemn her past. He just simply begins to call her out into a new future. So you got to realize this. When Jesus looks at us, that he looks at our past and he acknowledges it. He's not saying we don't have a past. He's not saying that we haven't made mistakes. But what he's saying is, I care about your past, but I care more about your future. Because I'm calling you to a place of life. I'm calling you out of the place of darkness, and I'm calling you into a place of light. And some of you here, you've made some big mistakes in your life. You got some secret things that if people knew, you'd be like, man, I'd be so mortified if people really knew some of the things I've done in my life. I say, join the club, because Jesus loved those kind of people. And Jesus loves you, and he's moved with compassion for you. I mean, five husbands and living with the guy now, number six is living with him. I mean, that's a soap opera today, more or less 2,000 years ago. I mean, this is huge. And Jesus doesn't even bat an eye. He just says, woman, man, come out. And it says he begins to speak life into her, speak over her. And it says that she immediately runs away and begins to tell people, come meet a man who told me everything I've ever done. He is the Messiah. And she begins to prophesy now that the Messiah is here. And this is who Jesus is. And it says that when Jesus got to Samaria, that many people came and they wanted to hear him speak. And they began to believe. And more people believed in him in Samaria than they ever did in his hometown. Because why? Because some woman who couldn't even go to the well in the morning time because the ladies rejected her. Because she probably had been with half of their husbands. And you know how it was. She was rejected. She had to go in the middle of the day by herself for her own protection. Comes to a face-to-face encounter with a God who looks into the very soul of who she is and doesn't condemn her, but speaks a message of love into her life, speaks into her destiny, and says, from this day forward, I want to give you a living water that will come out of you. No longer will waters come out of you that are impure, but out of you will come a living water. I'm going to enter you into a relationship that you're going to drink of my cup. And when you do, you're not going to thirst again. He speaks to her destiny. Some ladies here today, you've got things in your past that have been holding you back. You've got things in your past that have been, you've been shameful of. You things in your past that you haven't admitted to nobody. Things you would not want anybody to know. And I'm here to say God knows, and he still loves you. God knows, and he still loves you more than you ever could comprehend or understand. That God's love, God's grace is for you and I is so great. And he doesn't condemn us. But he's calling us out of the darkness and saying, I'm pushing you forward to your destiny. Yeah. And I love the story. When Jesus meets in this next statement, I want to tell you this next statement. That Jesus really desires your worship. It's a great story. I'm going to read it to you. I'm not going to read the rest of these stories. But I want to read this one story to you. I believe it's a great story. I want you to get it down. When Jesus came into Simon Peter's house, as he came into Simon the Pharisee's house. It says that Mary Magdalene was there. We see this encounter with Mary for the first time. Let's pick it up so we figure out that Jesus really desires our worship. Luke chapter 7, verse 37. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner. You know it's pretty bad if everybody knows who you're talking about when you're labeled the sinner, okay? We don't know exactly what this woman was, but we know one thing. She was the sinner. I mean, she was labeled that already. You know that one woman, the sinner. Everybody knows who we're talking about here. When she learned that Jesus was there reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster flask full of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet, she wept, began weeping, and she began to wet his feet with her tears. Have you ever been there when you cried so many tears? That man, you could have just took a washcloth and just wring it out because you cried so many tears. Ladies, have you ever been there when you cried tears, when you thought, nobody can understand these tears that I'm crying. Nobody can understand what I'm going through. And those tears come, and they just flow out of you. It says this woman was coming, and she was just crying. She was crying so hard that she began to take her tears and wash the feet of Jesus. And with her tears, she rinsed her feet. And with her hair, she wiped down his feet. And she began to kiss his feet and anoint them with the ointment that she had brought, the very expensive ointment. Now, when the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who this woman was and what sort of woman she is." I mean, come on, everybody knows this woman is the sinner, right? Okay. I love Jesus' response. And Jesus answering said, "Hey, Simon, I have something for you." He says, "A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed him 500 denarii and the other owed 50. When they could not pay, he canceled both of their debts. Now, which one of them do you think will love him the most?" And Simon answered, "The one, I suppose, whom he canceled the larger debt." And he said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning toward the woman, he said, "Simon, do you see this woman?" He goes, "I entered your house, and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them off with her hair. He goes, you gave me no kiss, but for the time I've come in, she can't stop kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she came and anointed my feet with the ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins," he doesn't say that they're not there. He says, "They are many." He goes, "I know who you're talking about. I know who she is. Therefore, her sins, which are many," look what he says, "are what? Forgiven. For she has loved much. But he who has forgiven little loves little." And he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Then those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this man that even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." And I love this story because we see the story where God desires her worship. And she begins to worship God. And today, I want you to know, ladies, there is nothing wrong with you pouring out your praise to the Lord. There is nothing wrong with you pouring out your worship to the Lord. And he says, the more he's forgiven you, the more worship you want to bring. If you want to know why I'm passionate about my worship, because God has been passionate about forgiving me a lot of things in my life. He's forgiven you. And so we should be passionate worshipers. We should be bringing him passionate worship because he has passionately forgiven us of much. And he doesn't take our sins and expose them for the world to see. He simply says, "Yeah, she's a sinner, but she's forgiven much. And look at her worship. She loves much." He desires our worship. And then he says, "Go in peace, woman." I love that because we see this throughout the same theme. If we were to go back and read these stories, almost every time that Jesus deals with a woman, he tells her, "Go in peace." You see, because Jesus wants you to know today that he is calling you out to a place of peace. He is sending you out a place of peace. He doesn't want you to walk in turmoil. He doesn't want you to walk in fear. He doesn't want you to walk in insecurity. He doesn't want you to walk in a slave to your past hurts. But he speaks over your life. He says, "Peace. My peace, which passes all understanding, I speak over you. I speak peace over you. Go in peace." And this story leads me to the last story I want to tell you about today. We see where she becomes a disciple of Jesus. When I say disciple, I mean she was there. She opened up her home. She was around the teachings of Jesus. She was doing everything she could. Every time Jesus was close, her and her sister, they were there. They were ministering to Jesus. They opened up their home, her and her brother Lazarus and her sister, and they would minister to Jesus any way they could. She built a past relationship with Jesus. And in that past relationship with Jesus over the years, as she built it with him, there came a time when her brother became very sick. It says Lazarus was very sick. We find the story in John chapter 11. Great story. I love this story. And she sends for Jesus. "Jesus, come. Lazarus is sick. He's going to die." And when Jesus gets the news, he knows that Lazarus is going to die. And because the Father has talked to him, he knows that it's God's will that he wait until Lazarus has been dead. Not only has he been dead, but Jesus said, "I want you to wait until he's been dead for like 4 days, okay? So when I go to heal him, when I go to raise him up, people are going to know that this man was dead. He was dead. I'm going to raise him up and resurrect him." And so he's there. He's taking his time. So he stops on his way back and just takes his time. And people are like, "Jesus, will you hurry up? Lazarus is dying." And Jesus says, "No, Lazarus isn't dying. He's just sleeping. So let's go see him. Lazarus is sleeping. Let's go see him." And they're like, "Well, Jesus, if he's sleeping, then let him rest. He's sick. He needs to get better." And Jesus is like, "No, dummies," as we taught the disciples. "No, he's not really sleeping. He's dead. But I'm going to wake him up. So let's go." So, "Wake him up. Let's go. Lazarus, let's go." So they go with Jesus. And he gets there and he goes outside the city and says that Mary and Martha come to him. And like, Jesus, where you been? If you'd only you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Only if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And it says they begin to weep. And I love this verse because once again, we see the compassion of Jesus. The shortest verse in the Bible, it says that Jesus stopped and he cried with them. It says that he wept. And today, ladies, I want you to know that when you cry those tears, that Jesus sees your tears and he cries with you. He weeps with you. He mourns with you. Even though he knows he has the power to resurrect the dead things in our life, he still hurts when you hurt. He was moved with compassion for the widow. He was moved with compassion for the sisters who had lost their brother. He was moved with compassion. It says that as Jesus walked to the tomb, he cried and he wailed. He mourned. Why? Because he mourns with us. When we mourn the loss of loved ones, he mourns with us. He knows and he understands. He holds us. And I want you to know, he holds us in our time of grieving. And of course, after he grieves, he says, take me to the tomb. And he commands them to roll away the stone. And the scripture says, after they roll away the stone, that he calls out with a loud voice. And he says, Lazarus, come out. Come forth. It says immediately that his grave-wrapped self. Now, you can believe what you want to believe. I've told you this before, and I'll tell you to you again today that when I talk about the story, according to the ritual of those times, when a person was wrapped in grave clothes, they were wrapped mummified. Man, they were wrapped tight, and they were wrapped from head to toe, okay? So you can believe that maybe he came out like this. I don't believe that happened that way. I believe the man got up when Jesus called him forth, rose, and just floated out. It's just my personal opinion. You can believe what you want to believe. But either way, he gets there, and when he stops in front of Jesus, Jesus says, I'll take this man, loose him, and let him go. It says immediately they took the cloths off of him and unwrapped him and loosed him, and he came alive. And this is what I want to say to every lady in the house today, that many of you here have had things in your life, disappointments in your life, things, promises in your life. You've had dreams in your life. You've had visions in your life that have been killed off by somebody. Somebody's killed your dream. Something's happened in life that wasn't your fault. And it allowed those things in your life, the hope that you had, you allowed that thing to be died off and just buried there. And you think, I've wept over it. I've cried over it, Pastor. I'm done. I don't want to go through no more. And I'm here today just to prophesy to you and say this, that our God specializes in resurrecting dreams in our life. Our God specializes in resurrecting dead things in our life. And sometimes we go through times of great mourning. Sometimes we go through times of losing things that are very close to us. Ladies, you've lost things that are very close to you. You've lost relationships. You've lost dreams. You've had people misuse you. You've had people take your trust and throw it out the window. You've had people who have abused you. You've had people who have mistreated you. You've had people who have rejected you. And I'm here to tell you that God is moved with compassion. He sees you and he cries with you. And when you cried all those tears and you thought no one was understanding, no, he was there. He was there. And when you cried those tears in worship, he receives those tears in our worship. And today I believe that the Holy Spirit is saying to you that he was wanting to breathe back into your life and resurrect those dead dreams. Resurrect those things you thought were lost. Resurrect those things in your life that you thought were taken away from you. God wants to breathe life back into those things again in our life, into our heart. He wants to breathe back into your life. But today, are you going to allow him? Are you going to allow him to breathe? I'm going to ask musicians to come this morning. And today I believe in this house there's going to be some women who are set free. There's going to be some ladies that are going to have some fresh life breathe back into you. I'm going to ask every lady in the house who wants to today, who would, just to join me in the front. Every lady, join me around the front today and come around the front. I'm going to pray over you today. We're going to pray and just believe that God is going to begin to resurrect some things in your life. Hey, good ladies, what a beautiful beautiful bunch of ladies coming in, guys. Come on in. Spread in. Scoot in a little closer there. Make room for those coming in the back. There you go. Some of you want to maybe scoot over to this way. It's a little bit there on the very back. There you go. Making room for those coming in, guys. Thank you. Ladies, first of all, let me look at me. I want everybody to look at me right here. I want you to tell you one thing. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. You are wonderfully and fearfully made. And today, I believe the Holy Spirit, I'm going to pray over you in just a minute. And I believe in your life today that God's going to do some healing in many of your hearts. That many of you had things happen to you that you didn't deserve. You had things happen to you that have really emotionally wounded you very, very deep. Some of you thought you cried your last tear because you said, man, that just hurts, Pastor, to go there. I'm here to tell you, God has seen those tears. And he is moved with compassion. And today, as your spiritual covering today, I just want to tell you that I'm just going to pray over you a prayer of healing. I'm going to call out the things in your life that God would resurrect in your life, fresh dreams, fresh vision. So I want you to lift your hands where you're at right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we lift our hands to you, Father, I pray over every lady in this house today. Lord, I pray, Lord, over every young lady in this house today. Lord, every teenager. Lord, every young adult. Lord, I pray over their life right now, Father, first of all, that God, you would protect their hearts. That God, they would not be, Lord, tormented with self-image. They would not be tormented with a thing that society is telling them is beautiful. But God, they are fearfully and wonderfully made. And God, they are not going to be, I pray right now and proclaim in their life, they will not be a prison, a slave to self-image. But God, they are going to see themselves wonderfully and fearfully made in you. God, I pray that they will trust no man with their heart until they've learned to give you all of their heart. That God, you will protect it. And God, you will let them know when it's the right time to give that heart away. But until then, God, you're going to allow them to give you their heart. And Father, I pray over them right now, Father, every young woman in this house. God, I pray that, Father, they will be wise beyond their years. That God, they will not follow after every guy who comes along and gives them a quick line. But God, they'll guard their heart because they are giving it to you, God, everything in their heart. And God, I pray right now over their protection. God, I pray for every mom. I pray for every woman in this house, God, who's ever been hurt. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, those women who faced abuse, Lord, that no one knows about, that they didn't even tell their mom about. But Father, right now, there's a place in their heart that, God, you are healing this morning. But Father, you are breathing life back into them. God, you are taking those dark places. And God, you are tearing them away. And God, you are healing their hearts, their spirits this morning. God, I come against every spirit of rejection that has followed them in their life. Every spirit of disappointment. Everyone who spoke a negative word over their life. Father, in the name of Jesus. God, I speak freedom in Jesus' name. And I call out of their heart. I call right now by the authority of your name, Jesus. I call out healing, fresh stream, life in the name of Jesus. I call it out of their life, Father, in the name of Jesus. God, right now, Lord, I cover them with my prayers. Lord, we cover them with our worship today, God, and our prayers, saying that life is coming back. Lord, joy is coming back. Lord, right now, Lord, I speak to the barren womb that life would be there in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Someone needs to worship the Lord right now. Father, I feel right now, God, I speak life where there was no life. Father, I speak life where there was no life. God, I speak life. I come against the spirit of death. And God, I speak the spirit of life. Lord, I speak right now the spirit of peace. God, we reject anything that has damaged their heart, anything that has damaged their mind. And God, I just pray a love, Lord, a wave of love of your Holy Spirit would wrap your arms around every woman in this house today, God. They would feel your love, your healing power. God, you are freeing them right now, Lord. You are freeing them now, right now. Lord, you're freeing them, Father, of addiction. You're freeing them, God, of insecurities. You're freeing them, God, of self-image. God, you're freeing them of years of abuse. You're freeing them, God, right now, fear in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak over them life. I speak over them life. I speak over them life. Now, ladies, begin to worship the Lord as we sing this song. I want you to see that Jesus is healing you this morning, and he would give him all the praise. Come on.
And our God, and he lives forever. and he reigns in power and love. So let earth bow down before him, for he is exalted. So we look to Yahweh, Yahweh, forever Yahweh, Yahweh, O Lord. He shall reign forever, he shall reign forever, he shall reign forever and ever.
All right, ladies, I want you to just grab hands of the person next to you. Come on, ladies, hold hands of the person next to you. You need each other today. As sisters in the Lord, man, you need each other. The prayers for each other. I'm going to pray over you one more time. And I want you to pray over, as I pray over you as well, I want you to pray over the person whose hand you're holding right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you, God, that you bring freedom. God, I thank you that you don't see us for our past. God, I thank you, God, that you see beyond our hurt. I thank you, God, that you cry with us. I thank you, God, that you mourn with us. But God, most of all, I thank you that you bring life. You bring resurrection power. And Father, as we pray over our sisters, the hands that we're holding right now, God, we speak life into them. We speak healing into them. Father, right now, Lord, we speak healing in the name of Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name, healing. Healing, God, in their mind, in their spirit. God, protecting them, God. Protecting their hearts. Father, in the name of Jesus, we speak healing in their life. Healing, Father. Encouragement in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, come on, lift those hands one more time. Just take that hand you're holding. Lift it up one more time to the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I speak freedom. I speak freedom. I speak freedom. Freedom, Lord, Jesus' name. Freedom in the name of Jesus. I speak over them, Father, a spirit of freedom in the name of Jesus. We say amen. Amen. Come on one more time.
He shall reign forever and ever. And he shall reign forever. He shall reign forever. He shall reign forever and ever. And he shall reign forever. He shall reign forever. Forever and ever, and he shall reign.
Hallelujah. I just understood God's love wrapping around you today. That's what I want you to do. I want you to turn to three people around you, ladies. Just give them a big hug. Just let the Spirit of God just go out of your heart into their heart. Come on, give them a big old hug. Come on, hug them like you mean it. Give them a big old hug there, ladies. There you go. Receive the love of the Lord today. Receive His love and His mercy. We honor all of our ladies today. God bless you. You guys enjoy the rest of your day. You guys have a great week. God bless you.